Indonesia's president is here in Washington today. He'll meet President Bush for a talk about human rights and closer military ties. Their meeting comes 5 months after a tsunami devastated parts of Indonesia. And this morning we are returning once again to a single town where we've been following the recovery. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from Pukenbara.
5 months ago, it was hard to imagine this town could ever recover. 10,000 people, more than half the population, were either dead or missing. Only the mosque and a handful of other buildings remained amid a sea of broken concrete, splintered wood, and twisted metal. The cleanup effort has been extraordinary. Almost all the debris is now gone. Backhoes and bulldozers did much of the heavy lifting. People power is taking care of the rest. Local work crews toting chainsaws, picks, and shovels. In Pukenbara, several cleanup crews are funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development. The temporary jobs pay about $4 a day. For many, it's the only work they've had since the tsunami, and they are grateful for it. It's hard to tell when things will improve, says this laborer, 27-year-old Mohammed Noor. For now, he says, we'll take whatever work there is and hope for something better. A few hundred yards down the road, something better is taking shape. An Islamic charity in South Africa has funded this project, new fishing boats for Pukenbara residents who lost theirs in the tsunami. The contractor, Mulyadi, says he hopes to have 130 new boats ready for Pukenbara's fishermen by July.
All they have now are temporary jobs, cleaning up their village. But when we finish these boats and put engines on them, we'll be able to give them to the fishermen, and then they will be able to go back to work.
It's a start, but projects like this one are few in number. While the cleanup has gone well, many residents complain the reconstruction effort is moving at a glacial pace. They know billions have been pledged by foreign donors to help rebuild Aceh, but little has been spent. Pukenbara residents say they want answers to two simple questions. When will they be allowed to rebuild, and who will help them do it? So far, they're still waiting for answers.
I don't know why so slow. Just talk and talk, and talking is not give the solution.
39-year-old Fatmawati lost two of her three daughters to the tsunami. She now lives in one of the temporary barracks built by the Indonesian government. She says her husband doesn't do anything now but pray all day at the home of a relative. The NGOs want to help us, she says, but many say they have to wait for the government. The decades-long conflict here between Indonesian security forces and Achenese separatists has left many Achenese suspicious of and resentful toward the Indonesian government. The slow pace of reconstruction only adds to their sense of alienation.
We are poor now. We are poor. We just live. You can see our sleep here. We don't have nothing. I want the foreign government help us. The building, they are our house.
And you think it's the foreign governments that will help you do that, not the Indonesian government?
Indonesian government, we don't trust them anymore now.
You don't trust them anymore?
I don't trust. The people here don't trust. You can see, you can hear.
Aid groups are also frustrated. Many reconstruction projects are on hold pending government approval. Some worry that bureaucratic infighting and Indonesia's reputation for corruption will delay reconstruction projects even further. Here in Pukenbara, a few residents have given up waiting for the government. They're taking matters into their own hands. 32-year-old Marceline is starting over with a small one-room wooden house. He's built it on the foundation of his old home, swept away by the waves. Nearly a dozen of his friends are donating their labor.
Right now, I'm living in a tent, but the rainy season is now here. And in another month, I believe it will be impossible to live in the tent. They probably won't even be standing. So I've decided to build this small house with the money I've saved and with the help of my friends.
Marceline says he spent the equivalent of $120 on materials, but his savings are now gone and his house still needs a roof. He's hoping to sign on with one of the USAID-funded cleanup crews next week. And he's counting on earning enough quickly enough to build the roof and beat the rain. Before the tsunami, Marceline had a family, a wife and two small children. And he had his parents who lived next door. He lost them all. I am alone, Marceline says. All I want now is the chance at a normal life.
Everybody is the same now. We are all unlucky together. All we can do is try to start over again, to forget the trauma and try to move on.
Some of his former neighbors seem to feel the same way. Several modest houses are under construction nearby. The people's impatience and frustration are understandable, says Kunturo Mancusobroto. Kunturo was appointed 3 weeks ago to head Aceh's reconstruction agency. He calls the lack of progress to date shocking and vows to move quickly to make things right.
I can say maybe the expectation is too high, but I accept that because people have been waiting for 5 months now. But I really hope that everything will be in place, things will start moving not too long from now.
But not all Pukenbada residents are in a hurry to return home. In fact, a few aren't sure they want to go back at all. After the tsunami, Pukenbada resident Rohani came here to her mother's house a few miles inland. She brought 20 of her friends and neighbors with her. They had nowhere else to go. 5 months later, they've all moved on, either to the barracks or to find work elsewhere in Indonesia, or to stay in tents closer to their old homes. Rohani is more than content to stay here, far from the water.
I'm happy because my husband says it's all right for us to stay here until the government helps us rebuild our home in Pukenbada. He says it might take a year before we go back, and that's fine with me.
In early January, Rohani appeared to be in shock. Her face was drawn and tense. 5 months later, she's clearly at ease, her smile as bright and wide as her face, even though her 9-year-old son is refusing to go to school today. He's punishing her for washing his favorite shirt. She doesn't seem too worried about it. But her smile vanishes as she contemplates going back to Pukenbada.
We still have earthquakes. And when we do, they make me wonder what would happen if I moved back and the water came again. In my heart, I'm still very afraid. Maybe it will be okay in a year or so. If my friends move back, maybe I won't be so scared. I don't know.
Her reaction is a reminder that the scars from the December tsunami are more than physical and will linger long after the rebuilding is done. Michael Sullivan, NPR News.
This is Michael's latest visit to Pukenbada. You can find photographs of the town and earlier reports about it at npr.org.